Good morning and welcome to Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul, and this week for Donna Quinn. Speaking truth to power. That can be kind of an intimidating prospect. I mean, the person in power might not want to hear what you have to say, might not like what you have to say, might not agree with it. But in a representative democracy, it's absolutely essential that every voice be heard for everything to function the way it's supposed to. So, how do you do it? Well, next Saturday, we'll have a chance to find out some tactics to speak truth to power in the INCO, the Indivisible North Coast Oregon Regional Speak Truth to Power Summit. And here to talk about it this morning on Talk of Our Towns is Carmen Hammersmith from the Warrenton chapter of INCO and Kathleen McDonald from the Seaside Gearhart chapter of INCO. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Carmen, give us a little bit of a rundown on INCO for those in the audience who might not know much about it and what we can look forward to.
Okay, Indivisible North Coast Oregon is one of nearly 6,000 grassroots individual groups that arose in the United States as a reaction or an action post-2016 presidential election. The area residents here formed INCO to defend democracy from authoritarianism, bigotry, corruption, by demanding accountability and transparency in our government, and to vote for and to support our American rights like equal justice, free speech, independent press. In other words, speaking truth to power. So our community has a group in Manzanita, Cannon Beach, Seaside Gearhart, Astoria in East County, and the Washington Peninsula. And we encourage joining forces with other like-minded groups in this area. So the crux of the matter is, in my opinion, the fear-mongering of this divisive political faction could be crippling. And when you think about it, it's fearful people that do stupid things. But through Indivisible, and specifically for us, INCO on this area, this fear is being channeled into positive action. And we do that through civics education, getting people involved in their government, be it state or local or federal, being informed, voting from knowledge, encouraging others to do the same. Just generally taking an active position in our own governments. Our principles are, again, defending democracy, resisting other, suppression, that kind of stuff. We have done a lot of things, and my friend Kathleen will tell you about a lot of the things that we're doing. So we resist all the agendas that are taking our country backwards. And we've done a lot now. We're going to do a lot on Saturday, and Kathleen will tell us what we have done in the past to get to this point.
So a little bit of history. So Indivisible North Coast Oregon was started by a few of the organizers of the 2017 Astoria Women's March.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was probably the first march that we had in Astoria. I don't know that for a fact. But so we had this women's march, and out of that, we had a kickoff meeting that drew 100 people to the First United Methodist Church in Astoria on February 1st, 2017. That's when our first community groups got started. But some of our accomplishments and activities since 2017, we attend all kinds of town halls for our federal and our state senators and representatives. But we're also looking forward to supporting our newest Oregon representative, Tiffany Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Who was affiliated with INCO.
Correct. We've written a lot of postcards. We've written thousands and thousands of postcards. We've had postcard parties at Fort George Brewery, at Bowie Beer. We've had postcard parties in private homes and in our community groups. We've written postcards to voters for for their campaign, postcards for District OR2 in that campaign. Also, we've written postcards for the Need to Impeach movement, and it was really about urging people to vote in the midterms. It was really important that people use their ability to vote. We also do a lot of canvassing. We canvassed for Measure 105.
Oh, you actually go door to door.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We go door to door in all of Clatsop County, and we work to support upholding the 1987 sanctuary law. We also canvassed on Measure 101, which was to maintain funding for Medicaid. And we have gone out and canvassed for candidates not as affiliates of INCO, but as candidates that we supported ourselves.
Who represent the mission or the values that that INCO does.
Correct. For each individual. We also created a candidate scorecard. So we had state and local candidates, and we kind of sent them a packet of questions and asked them to answer, I think there were 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together a scorecard, and we'd pass that out at voter meetings when we could go and listen to the candidates' forums.
Mm-hmm. And so the response of the candidates was pretty good to the questionnaires.
Fairly good.
They returned quite a few of them.
We didn't have 100%, let's just say that. But I bet if we did it again, we'd get 100%. We've had rally after rally. We rallied after Charlottesville. We rallied to end violence against women and children. We rallied for our lives, along with other national rallies after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shootings.
Oh, in Parkland.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We rallied for science. We've also rallied to keep families together, immigration in the southern border. Oregonians united against profiling. We rallied to defeat Measure 105. And we also rallied most recently, Nobody is Above the Law, and that was to protect the special counsel's investigation after our Attorney General, well, Jeff Sessions, was mm-hmm. fired. We've been in multiple parades. We annually do Seaside and Warrenton 4th of July parades, and we're able to have Lady Liberty come and march with us. That's always a fun thing. And we've been for 2 years in the Astoria Regatta Parade. We've been really busy, and we try to put ourselves out there in as many ways as we can.
You've been very visible.
We have been visible.
Well, that, gosh, anybody that ever, you don't have to participate in everything that we do.
Right.
But if you feel strongly about something, but you don't want to go in, you know, with both feet, you're always welcome to join us in celebrating some of our progressive values. And one of those things, of course, is this weekend for our main program.
Mm-hmm.
We will have Speak Truth Regional Summit. It takes place this Saturday, the 19th. We will have it at the Level Showroom, which is in the Fort George Brewery, 425 14th Street in Astoria. It starts at 8:30 in the morning, runs till noon, and will offer fresh perspectives on demanding truth from elected officials, speaking truth to those that are in power, networking, dialoguing, and inspiring people to defend their democracy. We've got three main speakers in the morning. The first one is Bobby Michaels, and Bobby is the Pacific Northwest Senior Regional Organizer for Indivisible. Bobby will speak to us about advocating for smart strategies and tactics for voicing your concern, affecting change, and his main core value in this is that the truth begins with us. Our second speaker, Lene Vaz, is a return speaker from the last summit. Last summit, she gave us a wonderful talk on how to reframe dialogue and say it in different ways that means different things.
Yes, we were talking about that a little bit before the program out mm-hmm. Met out in the lobby. Just an emphasis, or like saying, for instance, not that you're against a certain position, but that you're for your position and listing the reasons why. It's completely different emphasis, and that's an example, I think, of reframing a dialogue.
Because words can elicit reaction, and so you want to elicit a positive reaction so you can open up the dialogue instead of close the dialogue off.
Yes, and it's just changing, like I say, just an emphasis on a word. And so Lene Vaz, who is an immigrant from Brazil and a proud naturalized citizen, PhD, studied brain's function for many years, coaches the United States synchronized Olympic swim team, and is an active indivisible leader in Oregon. And her talk will be on messaging and morality. And her quote is, "We are witnessing a battle for the meaning of America that is weaponizing identity and information as a mean to divide us and sow chaos. We can regain control of our critical narrative that can lead to real change." So that comes right back to reframing and being for something rather than against something.
It seems like it's a large part of it is ratcheting down the anger and the rancor that characterizes so many discussions these days. It's difficult not to get angry. And once you're angry, the opportunity and the possibility of understanding, I think, it just dissipates.
Mm-hmm. We close off.
Yep, we certainly do. And I certainly have done that. I just, somebody comes up and says something very negative to me. I feel my first instinct is to retaliate.
Mm-hmm. You get defensive immediately.
And that doesn't do any good. You know, you may feel good for a few minutes, but afterwards you're just steaming by it. And mm-hmm. your thoughts are just very, very negative. So take a deep breath and reframe.
Right.
So we have a third speaker, Margaret Freeman.
No stranger to listeners to Coast Community Radio. She's a programmer here.
Yes, and she's a longtime advocate for the survivors of domestic and sexual violence. She is the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Clatsop Community College, and she will be speaking to feminism as a way of providing a theoretical foundation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering, the title of her talk was...
yeah, the title of her talk doesn't give enough emphasis to the importance of what... Well, I should... That's my opinion. There I go with my... But she is going to completely talk about feminism.
Which is the F word referenced in the title of her address.
Yeah, so, theoretical foundation that addresses violence, disenfranchisement and disconnect from our environment. In other words, not approaching it from, approaching it from a more earth-based and an inclusive way that seems to be a kind of underlying of the feminism movement. So we're going to have a really good morning.
And that's just for the morning.
Right.
That's
right.
Just the morning.
That's
now,
just the morning.
Now we're at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm. And there are box lunches available for purchase there.
Right.
And
from
so
good
you
to
can.
Go.
And I understand you're going to perhaps postcard a bit while you're at lunch, write a few postcards.
Make signs.
Uh huh.
And then, Kathleen, what are we going to do?
So we're going to be making some signs because at 2 o'clock, we're going to have the Speak Truth Women's March. That march begins in Heritage Square, which is at 12th and Exchange in Astoria. And, you know, we march for less than a mile on the sidewalks in downtown Astoria. So we basically go up Commercial and come back on Marine, but we want everybody to bring signs with positive messages and know that this is an inclusive, non-violent event. It's free and open to all of the public. So we'd really like to have a good representation.
Family friendly and
yes,
pets
absolutely.
Are welcome.
Pets are welcome on leashes. And last time, 2 years ago in 2017, we had a great march. There were almost 1,400 people there. And the messages were very positive, and everybody had a great time. So we anticipate that as well. So that we'll start marching at 2. We'll start gathering probably, noon, 1 o'clock-ish. And then after the march, we still have some other things going on at Fort George in the Lovell Showroom.
I have just a little aside on the Women's March in Astoria 2 years ago. I was in southern Ecuador when that took place.
Oh, my.
And I knew it was the Women's March because I had internet connection. I was listening to a English-based news in Ecuador, and they talked about the Women's March in the United States. They talked about how huge it was in the Washington, D.C., it was a generally nice coverage, and then they said even in a small town like Astoria,
oh really,
1,400 people were
Astoria
out there.
Astoria made international news.
Yes, it was. They specifically mentioned Astoria, Oregon, as a small town that showed so much interest and wanting change and that sort of stuff. Ecuador has been going through a lot of civic problems themselves, and I think that that station was probably trying to look, casting about for positive things. I was pretty darn proud. I wish I could have spoke Spanish so I could have told all these people how much I loved it.
Hey, I'm from that community. Yeah, I'm struck by the emphasis on positive messages for the signs. It would be easy to make a sign if it was not positive, one of those against signs.
Right.
But what you're after is one of those for signs.
Positive action. We want to make some change, and that's what grassroots efforts do. And so by speaking what your action might be or what you would like to see happen instead of name-calling or putting a negative message out, I think that says it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that builds bridges.
Yes.
Rather than tears them down, mm-hmm. rather than alienates, rather than brings people in conflict.
Finds common ground.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Think of the psychological advantage. If I was sitting home and didn't have a community of people to talk to and watching the news and it was against my values, whichever side it was, I would become very angry and very fearful. And like I said earlier, channeling that very strong emotion into something really positive is not only good for the country, it also is good for the soul.
Good for your own.
Yeah, I think it's a
mental health.
Good for
the spirit.
Yes, I personally feel that INCO is a very healthy thing for me. So we're going to talk about, after we get done with the parade, we're going to reconvene back in the Lovell Showroom at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
And we're going to have a panel discussion on how to run for office on the local level.
Yes, run for something.
Mm-hmm. Run for something. It's when our group supported Tiffany when she first started running, she didn't know, anything about running for an office. But she had some
She never had run for an office.
No, and she had some very positive ideas and some goals and is a very intelligent person. But she wasn't probably going to do that until she had a really good support base. And so running for office, if you've got a really concrete idea of what you want to see and then getting your support base. So our panelists on this are Bruce Jones, the new Astoria mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Tita Montero from the Seaside City Council, Kathleen Sullivan and Pam Webb are Clatsop County Commissioners. And they have all run, obviously, successful campaigns. And they're going to talk about what it takes to do it. And they'll answer questions and that type of thing. And there are numerous local offices up for election in May. And I don't know how many of us really know about some of those openings.
You know, I'm always surprised when I receive my ballot in the mail at how many positions, and these are be positions on water district boards or a lot of them regarding the allocation of resources or how resources are used, that really has an impact on people's daily lives.
Absolutely.
But nobody's filed for those mm-hmm. positions.
And some of them have criteria mm-hmm. that the normal person doesn't necessarily know about until they decide that they might want to file for one of those positions.
Soil and Water mm-hmm. District. I had actually thought that that would be very interesting to me because of my connection with the Neconicum Watershed Council.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to own at least 5 acres of land in Clatsop County to be on that.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So while it's very important because our environmental stuff is very important and we're going to have some real stresses on it, obviously, you do have, according to our statutes here, you have to own at least 5 acres of land. But if you do, you actually are a bigger stakeholder in this than others. And it is, there's open positions all over for that.
And there are positions for, it doesn't have to be a high-profile position that we're
right.
talking about. You're not perhaps, you know, not running for Congress or even mayor. It's just school boards, water boards, soil and water districts,
library
things
board.
Like that. Library boards.
Tree committee.
Yeah, tree committee.
Tree committee.
Yeah,
now that's a new one on.
In Seaside, there is a tree committee, and through Neconicum Watershed, again, I learned about the tree committee and how important that actually is and what you can do with the woodlands within the township boundaries and that kind of stuff. So the whole idea about this is if we have good people serving in office, then democracy will stay strong, whether it's your school board, which is obviously in Clatsop County, that's been very important in the last several years, or conservation soil district. We should all be involved a little bit because rather than sitting home on your couch and cursing the fate, you can get out and actually do something important.
And I think it's easiest to become involved locally. So, you know, a lot of us, we do national events, but we're really focusing about what's going on in our community. We want to know about our state senators and our representatives and how that's going to impact us in Clatsop County as well as our local towns and who our commissioners are, our mayors, and what is on their agenda. So I think that's really important to just find out where you can take some kind of positive action in your community.
And this has been a successful formula for, well, the Tea Party.
The Tea Party, absolutely.
This is the blueprint. Mm-hmm. The roadmap the folks there followed mm-hmm. to, and it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen overnight. It happened little by little, incrementally, and then eventually, boom, had a huge impact
mm-hmm.
nationally.
Yes.
So
yes.
This is how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is definitely true. Just voting. If that's, you know, just getting out there and voting from a position of knowledge is the first and best step that you can take. And then going on from that, we're a wonderful community. This whole North Coast, Oregon, is probably one of the most beautiful spots in the whole world. It has some of the nicest people, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be just participating in it.
And one of our NCO members has put together a list of all of the open positions for mayor.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the open candidacy positions as well as open committees and things like that. So that would be a great resource.
Oh,
come
yes.
Come back after
yes.
the march, go to the
Run, go to the
for,
run
something
for Something
and, you know, talk
panel
about
discussion.
It. You might be interested. You might have been thinking about it. But there's a lot of support out there for people to act locally.
Yes, and if you don't want to do it, you can support one of your friends.
One of your friends.
Yeah. Yep.
So we want to make sure everybody knows that these three events are free and open to the public. So we start at 8:30 in the morning, and we're done at, what, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, we don't start Run for Something till 4, so it'll go till 5:30. Uh-huh. You don't have to, you know, sit right there. You can stay. But the information available is going to be very, very valuable. Mm-hmm. The thoughts that are going to be put out will be definitely
positive
worth
thoughts.
Worth listening
positive
to.
Positive.
And perhaps we can reframe our own thoughts from learning the techniques and that sort of stuff.
Because we believe the best thing we can do during these times is to be informed.
Mm-hmm. And, as you mentioned as we were talking before, to be the change that you want to see.
Yes, the quote from Mahatma Gandhi is, be the change in the world that you want to see. Mm-hmm. And I remember an old hymn from church saying, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It all starts with the individual. It all starts with you. And the idea that disagreement does not have to mean conflict.
Right. We can have polite discussion in which it doesn't necessarily have to be adversarial. We can have disagreements and have meaningful discussions. We're trying to find common ground. We want to talk about issues instead of being so divided.
Because only really through communication can there be understanding. Mm-hmm. And only through understanding can there be any sort of progress. Without that, you know, then we're going to be where we are today, just kind of shouting at each other in an increasingly polarized society. And that does nobody any good.
No, it's certainly this last, 3 years, has certainly demonstrated to us that it has torn, not torn physically, but divided families, lost friends. And some of those, and that's happened in my family, and as a reaction, and I thought, my gosh, how can I let something like that I have the power essentially to change by changing my thinking, go? You know, that's just, and I think INCO is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to become involved and to channel that energy into something positive.
Now, how can people find out more about INCO and more about the event?
Well, we have a website that you can see. So just if you Google INCO, you'll find out where our website is. We have a newsletter that goes out, and you can, from our website, you can sign up for our newsletter, and it tells you about all of the events that we have going on. We have posters around town that talk about the Speak Truth Summit, and we have a Facebook page, Indivisible North Coast Oregon. Lots of information there that's posted weekly as well.
We have an advocacy group. We have a book club. We have an under 40s group. And we have a leadership group. There's just any number of things that you can jump into. Our advocacy group has been really an educational experience, for instance.
So mark your calendars, folks. Next Saturday, starting at 8 in the morning, Lovell Showroom. 8:30 at the Lovell Showroom.
Completely open, completely free, and very good.
Well, Carmen Hammersmith from the Warrenton chapter of Indivisible North Coast Oregon, Kathleen McDonald from the Seaside Gearhart chapter, thanks so much for stopping by this morning. And that's about all the time we have this morning for Talk of Our Towns. Thanks so much for listening. I'm David Paul. Donna Quinn will be back next week.